Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
But tonight, I'm really excited because there's always a message that's been on my heart I've wanted to share to the congregation. In fact, I see Miss Raquel over there. It's so good to see her, one of my students from many, many moons ago, and all grown up, make me feel old, I'm telling you what. And this was a message that I tried to communicate to students and anywhere I went at least once a year, because it was so important, so vital, not only for my own life, but I believe for anybody that believes and takes a step to follow Christ. Amen. And I want to deal with the topic of real faith. All right? Real faith. And I really grasped a concept of this when I was a teenager on a mission trip. And we went to South America, and, you know, I'm a little hesitant as a teenager, but, you know, I read about this God in the Bible that does all these amazing miracles and how awesome he is, and I hear that this stuff happens on a mission field, and I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. I want to go see this, because sometimes it don't always happen in the church. Come on, somebody. And that's what gave me a wake-up call. And I'll never forget, we went on this mission trip. There's several stories I can share, but the one that really taught me something was we were in this marketplace, and people were climbing trees and getting on rooftops and gathering around, and we were just, like, confined by people coming to check out what these Americans are doing in their country and to hear what they have to share. And we shared the gospel, and a lot of people came to Christ, and it was just amazing. And my cousin came, and he said, "John, this lady needs a healing." I said, "Okay, what does she need?" And she turned it around. Her eye was just like this white, milky substance. "She needs her sight back." I'm like, "This is it. We're going to see a miracle, baby. Come on, somebody." And we got our Holy Ghost selves just a praying and believing and praying and believing. I said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And I took my hands off, and her eye was still all milky. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, it's not supposed to work this way. You know what? And I'm thinking, and then it hit me, I'm like, "Lord, I didn't come, I don't know how far I came, to see the same stuff I see happen at home. I want to know real faith. I want to know a real God." And as I started to earn right there, I didn't realize it then, but the Holy Spirit would start to teach me some of the spiritual gifts inside of me that I did not know I had. And he quickly says, "Hey, I want you to tell your cousin," and our youth pastor was there at the time, he says, "I want you to pray, but I want you to pray and be specific. What do you want to see happen? Don't just pray to be healed, but call it out. Organize what needs to take place and speak life over that." I said, "I can do that." And I told him, I said, "We need to be specific." And as I started to pray specifically, I got lost in a worship service in my own mind. I felt like I've been praying for an hour. I mean, it felt like I just got done. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you just feel like you've been to camp meeting all week right there. That's how I felt. And when I felt, I'm just like, "Whew, I need to sit down." Totally forgot what I was praying about. And my cousin says, "John." And I look, and this lady's eye was crystal clear, crying and weeping. And I really believe a lot of times we get fixed on such a real faith that we forget that real faith is really about a real relationship. I had more fun worshiping God in that time, and in the midst of my worship with God, an amazing miracle took place. Took place. And it brings me to tonight of dealing with the main topic, real. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be the real deal for God. And a lot of times the enemy will come into our life and make us, well, not make us, but cause us through situations and trials and tribulations to question our faith. Nobody raise your hand, but I guarantee you, there's many of us here would say, there was a time in my life I didn't feel saved. And we look for that feeling. But God's so much more than a feeling. We think We accept him and we feel his peace, and we run after that feeling all the time, but deep down inside, we know God's there. But just because he's there, we can't feel him. I don't know if I'm saved. And I would hear students say that, and I would hear parents say that. And I says, listen, if you call on the name of the Lord, confess thy sins, you shall be saved. And no matter what you feel like, when you put your faith in God, you're saved. So I want to break this real down, and I'm more on discipleship, and I don't know about you, but how many people out there, you're a very routine person? All right, I'm very routine, all right, for the most part, especially when it comes to eating. Amen. If I smell food, I eat. But I want to break this down, and we're just going to take these four letters, and I started to look at this, and God started to show me the process of having a real relationship with him. And the first thing is R. We're going to look at R. And R is basically realize. Everybody say realize. Realize. Well, what do we got to realize? Ultimately, we need to realize that we are in need of a Savior. I don't care. I've met some of the toughest people out there. A lot of people don't know. My father was a world-class arm wrestler. Bench over 500 pounds. Right? Big man. But there comes a point to where we realize we're really lost and hopeless. There's that void, and that we need a Savior. The Word of God clears it up for us in Romans 3:23, that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whether you try to put it on the back burner, I love people that say, well, you know what, I believe that, and I really feel that, and I sense it, but you know what, I'm going to do that later. They really haven't come to a full realization that life's short and we need a Savior. We need a Savior. There's many things we need to realize in life, but this one thing is particular, and that is having Christ as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raise him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Also in Acts, it confirms in chapter 16, verses 31 and 2, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Christ is our cornerstone. And we've got to realize that whether we feel like God's with us or not, he is always there. He is omnipresent, and that you're saved. The enemy does his best to isolate us. Because if he can get you isolated, there's one very familiar trick he does. He'll get you thinking that you're the only one going through this, or you're the only one dealing with this. And if he can get you there, he can get you to the point that, I wonder if I'm even saved. If you confess with your mouth, you are saved. And that's one thing we got to realize. The next thing, and I love it because we give Christ in our life, and this one kind of comes naturally, but we take E, and that's examine. Everybody say examine. Yeah. All right. Now, this doesn't mean your neighbor or your spouse necessarily. We're talking, everybody say, about me. All right, me. And you say, Pastor John, why is examining necessary? Well, you know, when we accept Christ, it amazes me. People that know the sin in their life, you don't have to tell them. They know it. All right? But then there's other things in our life that we need to examine. We need to examine. I love the psalmist, because even the psalmist in Psalms 26:2, a man after God's own heart, King David, he said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Examine. All right? And we've got to look at not just part of my life, but examine my entire life. Right? When we yield and we realize we need a Savior, we surrender our entire life. I don't know about you, but when I felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that I needed to ask Jesus in my heart, even though I've been going to church for a few years, and I was really making sure this God thing's cool and this Heavenly Father's cool, because I had father issues at that time. It was an ugly mess. I don't know about you, but it was an ugly mess. Anybody, when you got saved, it was, you were snot booger crying, come to God at an altar. It wasn't raise my hand, thank you, Jesus. It was ugly. I mean, you got saved. All right? Some of y'all are like, well, what is it? I'm telling you, you know that you know. And when I got up, you feel so clean. You feel the peace of God. But then when you go home, there's the remnants of old you. And you've got to allow the Holy Spirit and allow leadership to help expose while you examine your life. If you never examine your life, you'll never become the full creation God's created you to be. Hopefully that put it in the best. I love this example of thermography. And they'll take this, if you ever had your AC repaired or something like that, they'll take this machine and thermography and they'll turn it on. It'll measure heat index, all right, and pressure index. And they can just scan your house and with a color code, they can tell if there's a little leak here, a little leak here, a little leak here. And I look at that and I watch them like, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does to me. Hey, you need to patch this up over here. Oh, you got a little loose end over here, Pastor John, you know. You better go apologize. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right. I've had to apologize, and I wasn't even wrong. Anybody ever been there like that? I got in trouble, and the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I went and told my mom I was sorry, and then when I was done, I was like, why did I do that? Because the Holy Spirit convicts in that examining process. Christ even commanded us to examine ourselves every time we take communion. I remember another trip I got to go to Africa and Sierra Leone, and Pastor Sama actually was there, I believe it was on Easter Sunday, which was very unique to be in a whole new culture on an Easter Sunday. And Pastor Sama, preached, it was very traditional like we do here, and then had communion. And I seen some of the laity and some of the, they had different terminology, but the ones that would go out and help us evangelize and minister out in the community, as they served, they would refuse. And it really bothered me. And I mean, it kind of stopped my clock in church session. I'm like, why aren't they taking communion? And I'll never forget, I went up to the one young lady and I said, her name was Regina. And I says, I don't mean to pry anything, and I hope I don't offend you, but I noticed you didn't take communion. Are you not feeling good? And she just, without hesitation, says, no, I just didn't feel like I was ready yet. Examine. And it grabbed me. I'm like, girl, from what I see you doing ministry and your life and your dedication, probably half the people in my church don't need to be taking communion. If we were really to examine our life before communion, how many of us would put the bread and the cup down? We're talking about real relationship. Real relationship. Many things we can examine in our day-to-day life. But I believe sometimes it's not so much the stuff or the sin, but God, through that examining process, kind of challenges us to examine spiritual things. It's not so much the negative as it is positive, if that makes sense. Not so much the sin as it is the holiness. Let me give an example. When's the last time you examined your level of obedience to God? Obedience. I share this story. It gives a great... I don't like to share it because even though it's funny, it was a very hard time in my life. You may say, well, that wasn't hard because you don't particularly like this. But for me, it was very hard. And I'll never forget, I'm very routine. Get up in the morning, make my 5-egg omelet, get my toast, get my Bible, lay everything out. When the kids leave, I eat my food, have my Devo time, and I love coffee. Any coffee lovers out there? Amen. All right, I love coffee. And I like a lot of coffee. And I got Pastor, I wouldn't say I got him on it, but we started him on frappes, and now he drinks the sissy coffee, is what we call it. That it's more light color than dark coffee. So anyhow, I like a lot of cream. I get my coffee. I'm sitting there, and I always go for my coffee and sip. And I go grab that cup, and I go sip. The Holy Spirit just quickened me. I want you to fast your coffee. And I'm holding it. Right. Is this my flesh or this really you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, when it comes real, when it gets real, okay, God, I really want to serve you. I really want to be faithful, but, you know, this, you could have told me before I made this. There's starving orphans in other countries who would have loved this coffee. You know, and you start to reason with God and argue with God. We think it's funny, but we do it all the time. And finally, after about 2 minutes or so, I'm like negotiating with God. I says, okay, fine. And I set it down. As soon as I set it down, I said, fine. He said, for a year. I said, oh, I know this is my flesh talking now. The Lord would never forsake me to have to sacrifice such a great thing for such a long period of time. Surely he created that. In about 2 or 3 days, I argued with God. I didn't drink coffee because I didn't want him to kill me in the meantime. You know, I fear the Lord. Because when he tells you do something, you better do it. One thing I've learned, this is a principle you got to live by, God always wins. God always wins. Right? He took Jonah through a lot of things, but he ultimately won. So I put it down, and after 3 days, I said, fine, I'll fast it. As I fasted, I'll never forget, about 6-7 months went by, and that's the first time we had Bishop Jonathan Ziegler to our church for revival. And what a revival we had. And in that revival, God released me from that fast. And, of course, in me, I said, no, I got 6 months, Lord. I'm going to finish this thing. And I finished it. And believe it or not, the student's about to go to Rock University. Rock University right there. And I'll never forget walking into Rock University. And that's where I broke my coffee fast. And I looked at my leaders. I said, I need you to take the group to the gate. I will meet you there. Where are you going? Don't worry about it. And one of my leaders knew me. He goes, you better get a small coffee. And so I went and got me a coffee, broke my fast. He said, what'd you do? I said, I walked up to the corner. I said, hook me up. It's been a long time. But you know what? I looked at that, and then at the end, I said, God, why did I fast this? And I believe in an examining of my obedience level. Amen. Right? Because if you can't be obedient, some of the greatest things God wants to bestow in your life requires a level of trust. And that level of obedience has got to line up with that level of trust. Amen? If you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about if you've got children. Right? Because depending on how they obey, we're relating the level of trust they earn. Amen. And that's the truth. So we got to examine. And first, R, we realize. E, we examine. We realize there's stuff in our life we've got to get out. And then this is where it gets important, is A, we've got to apply. And this is where we mess up a lot of times. Because if you got garbage out, there's a hole. There's something void there. And it's got to be filled. Trust me, you will fill it. All right? I love stories and illustrations, but this one plays clean. Me and my wife, she decided to get pregnant. And I realized when that took place, we needed something bigger than a one-bedroom apartment. And I'm looking at I love my one-bedroom apartment, Vero Beach, Florida. And I said, well, we're going to have to get a house. And so we went shopping. We bought a home. We moved in. As we move in, you know, you clean up, put stuff out. Well, ironically, the house across from us to the right, some new people moved in there and bought it and so forth. And they were cleaning out, and they were bringing out. And I'll never forget, they brought this, the most hideous-looking couch I've ever seen. And set out by the road with a bunch of other stuff. And that couch sat there for a week. And I, you know, if some of you men know what I'm talking about, when I think out loud, I'm like, they ain't going to pick that up. They're going to have to take that to the landfill. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. They're not going to put that in the back of a truck and haul it. And so I'm watching this, and about a week goes by. It's still out there. It's been raining. It's like August. I'm like, by week two, I'm like, there's something living in that couch probably by now, you know. And it's just ugly, dirty. I can tell it probably stinks. And no telling what's living in it. And then I'll never forget Saturday, I'm out mowing the yard. And the people come out of the house, pick up the couch, and bring it back in the house and use it. And I'm sitting there, that's wrong. That's nasty. You know, I'm thinking this stuff in my mind. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then God just spoke to me. He said, is that not what my people do? We get rid of stuff. We go through revival. We get stuff. We put it out. But if you never bring something in from his word, if you never fill it with something that's holy, that's just, that's of a good report, you will run back to the old. Have you ever found yourself saying, I just can't stop doing this sin? You run to it. I don't know how many teenagers, and one reason I love Rock the Universe is it connects them to good Christian music of different genres and styles. Because I would see students get rid of some nasty music. And back then, in my early days, they actually had these things called CDs. Some of y'all used to have tapes. And they would throw them away. And the crazy thing is before they know it, if I didn't help them get Christian music, they would go back and pull that out of the trash if it hadn't come and be hooked right back on that same cycle until the next time they were convicted. Applying is very important, church. It requires discipline. You know, even though I'm a pastor and I may have stepped down from the student ministry, I know I need to regularly apply teachings in my life. I'm big on discipleship. In fact, I love meeting on Sundays. I go to the Bible study and the family focus hour in between the services and get to, I don't know if it's a good thing, I really get to know Popeye now. That's a very interesting man of God right there. But I love him. And I study and I grow and I'm applying stuff. And God sharpens us.
Stick with us, John. We'll learn you.
I'm betting. I love what George Barna spoke one time. It says, Christians say they do best at relationships and worst in Bible knowledge. And I think it's kind of ironic that if you're not applying what needs to be applied, amen. I mean, you can read all you want, but if you don't apply it, amen, it's not going to stay. Amen. Does that make sense? I can teach my kids about how to do work. A couple weeks ago, they're raising money for Rock the Universe stuff, and my middle son, Jacob, was with me. I said, all right, you want to go work, make some money? Okay. And he went out, and that day he got to lay 2 pallets of sod. He thought he was going to die. 103 heat index. But as we were doing it, I was teaching him. And as I taught him, I watched to see if he actually would apply it. And parents, that's a good thing to incorporate when you teach, is to make sure they're grabbing a hold and applying it. Because it goes to that saying, I don't know if you ever heard this, but in one ear and out the other, right? And we want to apply that in our lives, right? So we first realize, we examine, and we realize that there's some things in our life as we examine that need to go, and as we get rid of those things, as God pulls that discipline, we start to apply the things that God has for us. And then as we're applying stuff, we take L, we need to live the life. Live. I love our philosophy that if you're not enjoying your salvation, you're doing it wrong. What does that mean? You're living your life to the fullest. You know, Pastor Ronnie says it all the time. You know, I can't wait to get to heaven, but I'm enjoying life right now. Living the life. Living the life. And you'll never live the life if all that before is not in place. If you haven't realized that you need a Savior. If you haven't examined the things that should not be in your life and rid them and allow the Holy Spirit to work on you and to apply the things God has for you. Truth is, even myself, there's probably so much more God wants to bestow on our life. But to be able to receive whatever he has bestowed, we've got to examine, just as King David did. Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way. Any wicked way. Paul gives us a clear vision on living the life in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. As I say, well, Pastor William, if you come and play, I think he left. I'm telling you, I got left by all the pastors now. It's all right. But in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30, he tells us how to live as citizens of heaven. We know we're in this earth, but we're not of this earth. Right? We are a new creation in God. And he says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in the struggle together. And you have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I'm still in the midst of it. Above all, we must live as citizens of heaven. Now, just to recap, to be real, that is a day-to-day cycle. Because I don't know about you, but there are days where it seems like all hell breaks loose in your life. And I got to tell myself, God's for me, not against me. If you haven't been there, just keep breathing. You'll be there one day. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And as a daily thing, I wake up, and normally that realization, when you realize that and you get it in your spirit and you get it in your identity, you actually come as a psalmist as praise and thanksgiving because you're living the realization of who you are in God. And I'll wake up and say, God, you're good. Thank you so much for another day. And then if we just come to him once a day and say, Lord, is there anything in my life that's unpleasing to you? Sometimes we don't want to ask it because we know what it is. But let me just give this to you. Holy Spirit, just quicken me. What God's trying to take out of you has no measure of significance of what he's trying to put in you. What he's applying from what you think is subtracting from your life is never going to measure up. So take the step. And don't worry about that examining process. Because we go to the doctors all the time, what do we want to do? Worry about the worst. But God has the best in store. And when we realize that, you can live the life. And you do this every day. It's not just going to be a real faith that you run after. It's going to be a real relationship. And when you walk a day-to-day relationship, God will blow your mind. Just to kind of testify of how real our God is. Many don't know, but probably Pastor Ronnie and a handful of people, but before God called me into ministry, I had the opportunity of a lifetime. Worked for a businessman that was a man of God, owned the number one top-selling pack mail in the nation. And I got to become his right-hand man and develop a storage and delivery facility and that now is franchised from Jacksonville to Boca to Miami. What's crazy is Pastor John's face is still on some side of the trucks on the East Coast. So don't freak out if you see one of those one day. But my boss came to me and he said, hey, John, you've been my right-hand man. I have utmost trust in you. He says, I want to offer you stock in this company. Not only that, but you let raise and everything. And I'm like, thank you, God. my wife can retire, even though she had a degree in teaching and what I wanted and all this stuff. And then 2 days later, we get a call from a church. Would you be interested in becoming a youth pastor? No, I'm not interested. And they kept calling and calling, and I didn't make a mistake, but in my mind, I thought I made a mistake when I said, fine, I'll pray about it. Let me tell you something. When you say you're going to pray about it and you pray about it, God will start to apply stuff in your life. And we knew we had to answer the call. And I think it was probably about 5 years ago, I was looking over and I seen the success of this business, and by now I probably would have had about 30 to 40% maybe stock in the company. And he said, if you want more than 45, you have to buy me out, which is what he was a great man of God, really want to encourage success in people's life. And I sat there and looked, I said, my royalty check would have been about 1 point something million this year. And then I started to look back over what a real relationship with God does. When I was in a house and we needed a van, and someone just called us and said, hey, we'd like to give you a van. Not only give you a van, but someone bought a plane ticket so I could fly up and drive the van down. And as I drove the van down, I started to get really tired. And I'm a night owl. I can drive all night long. My dad said, just pull over rest area, rest for 10 minutes. Pull over rest area, slept for 10 minutes. Van started to shake. Thought some kid was trying to punk me at a rest area. I look around, don't see nobody. Go back to sleep. Car shakes again. I'm going to whoop somebody. Spirit of Pastor Ronnie came on me. Didn't even know him at that time. Didn't see him. I said, if that happens again, I'm getting out of this van. So I went back right before I about to go to sleep. It shook again. And I said, that's it. Opened the door. Door flew open. The wind's blowing. I said, oh, that's the wind. Because I don't know if you remember those hurricanes that came and hit Florida. I was driving through them. And if I wouldn't have stopped, 5 miles down the road at exact that time, a tornado came across the highway and split a semi in half. God's timing. Come home. What really blew the mind was when I went to trade my truck in, because I realized my kids were getting bigger and the one seatbelt didn't work. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look so holy. I said, I need a four-door truck now. And they were looking for one. When they found one, I went down, I traded it in, and they couldn't believe that I was getting over 100,000 miles on my tires. And there was times where I knew I didn't fill up gas and the truck kept running. What is that? Just God. I have no explanation. They said, there's no way. They looked through the track history. They said, these are the original tires. 160,000 miles on trade, and they still had another 50, 60,000. What is that? It's what a real relationship with God will do. Out of all my family, me and Holly will be celebrating 19 years of marriage next year. I really feel old now. There's not very many people in my family that can say that. What is that? A real relationship. We can all stand together tonight. I hope this word challenged you and gave you some important keys to follow. Because this is just not something of a one time, but I visit this often through the year of my life. And I'm going to ask the Spirit Life team to come, because I don't want to close out in prayer. If you want prayer tonight, we want you to come. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and the first step is realizing you need a Savior and you've never accepted God as your personal Savior, and you realize tonight you need Him in your life, I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but just raise your hand. We don't like any service to go not giving the opportunity to.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.